This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasolines. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now with your host, Rick Moore.
And thanks to everyone for tuning in today. Thank you. It is 11:01 here on the wake-up call. I hope you had a wonderful Thursday or weekend or however you did your holidays and whenever you did your holidays. Let me thank the folks in Lynchburg on the 89.9 and those guys and girls at Blue Ridge Graphics. You can find them at Mead Avenue and East High Street here in Charlottesville, providing custom T-shirts and sportswear, plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, online, brgtshirts.com. All right, a topic I've wanted to cover for a while, agricultural tourism. I read about it a while ago. I bumped into my friend Mark Thompson. Mark, you over there?
Yeah, I think so. Hello, good morning.
Mark Thompson from Star Hill has been on the program a couple times. Ran into him several months ago at that Top of the Hops Festival. And we were chatting about what to do. Good show to do. Agricultural tourism. You know, I've read about it, but what the heck is that? And here we are today to alert everyone out there listening. Our guest, Maureen Kelly. How are you, ma'am?
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being here. Maureen Kelly from the Nelson County Economic and Development Tourism Department. It sounds like you have 45 or 50 people.
Yes, there's me and the cardboard cutout of me.
Over tucked in the corner, Hunter Smith from the Afton Mountain Vineyards. Hi, Hunter.
Hey, how's it going?
All is well on this side of the keyboard. All right, so we are going to be talking about agricultural tourism. And Maureen, let's start with you, because what is the birth of this concept and how does it sort of differentiate itself from tourism?
Well, I thought a lot about that, Rick, as we set up this meeting, and what I came up with is that we consider agritourism kind of a strategy for capitalizing on those existing natural assets to promote tourism development. In Nelson, we really call it agritainment. We talk about it. It really takes the buy fresh, buy local, all the things that we hold dear to this area, takes them to a different level, and it just allows folks to create value for the producers and also for their consumers.
That sounded very professorish. You know, when I have a professor in the room, I always feel like I always have to tell them, tone it down a bit. Not everybody's had 101 in this class. You know, you have to go back and explain some of the jargon. I got lost a little bit in there. Try again to the dumb guy on the other side of the keyboard.
It allows you as a consumer to find value in that which we have around us, whether it's the beautiful, it's the view sheds, whether it's the products, whether it's the animals, the plants, the art, the crafts around us. So it's taking your visitor experience and making more of it through the natural surroundings.
When I think of tourism, though, I always think of somebody coming from over there to come over here. And a lot of what I heard from you was telling me who's already here to go do this, which you might be overlooking.
We suggest that the residents be a tourist in their own backyard. And what we offer for the what you're considering the leisure consumer tourist, that person coming from out there here, is they already have somewhat of an appreciation of what we have here, whether it's the history, whether it is the amazing outdoor recreational opportunities. But the agritourism part of the equation is, let's round it out. What can we do with artisan beer, craft beer, artisan wine, artisan craft? And it also allows you to perhaps have folks stay overnight where they may have just done a day trip, or it allows them to experience something that they haven't done before, like craft beer. or like boutique wine.
Now, Hunter, again, Hunter Smith from the Afton Mountain Vineyard. I think for many people, certainly for the last decade or so, participating as a winery, I've seen many ads, whether vocal or print, putting forth the experience of the Virginia wineries and how great the Virginia wineries are, whether large or small. So I don't know how new the concept of agritourism is, but I would think that the winery issue in terms of getting people to come enjoy that experience isn't new for you.
That's right. I mean, we opened our tasting room in 1991. So, you know, we've been doing it for 20 years. And there are a number of wineries who have. There are also a number of new ones who, you know, have come up more recently and are, you know, experiencing that success. You know, right around the turn of the millennium, I guess you could say, is when things sort of overall across the board started to be well accepted and understood as a thing to go and do. And Virginia wine was not, you know, an exhibit of sorts, but something to take check out and take seriously. And so, you know, for the better part of 10 years, that's been really taking root, so to speak.
But Mr. Thompson,
yes.
When did artisan beer fall into this category?
Well, really, Rick, the beer phenomenon is kind of riding on the coattails of the winery. I often will give credit, a lot of credit where credit is due, to the Virginia winemakers. So here in Virginia and here locally in Albemarle and Nelson County, the Virginia beer scene is just really hitting its first synergistic mass, where you have Devil's Backbone and Blue Mountain and South Street. And if I'm forgetting someone, forgive me. But we've got this synergy that also rides on the coattails of the hard work that the wine guys have done for 10 years. So as the consumer goes out to Albemarle and Nelson County, they might go to Afton Vineyard for an hour or so, then they might stop by Blue Mountain Brewery and then stop by Veritas Winery and then back to Star Hill Brewery. So we have this synergy of consumers that are going out, and the brewery has added a component that is unique and different, but at the same time similar, and feels as if it's the similar kind of concept as a wine tour.
But where does the agricultural part come in? Because I think visions of the winery to the regular listener are the arbors. I mean, you can see the grape arbors there, and you know that those items are picked and put into the wine, but the beer is just done in this big steel kettle and then goes into a bottle. What's the Virginia agricultural part of that?
Well, there are two components of that, one of which is you're absolutely right. The agricultural component that the breweries have suffered under is that we don't grow our own grapes, and we do not get some of the political benefits as the winemaker does from the agricultural exemptions that allow us to do certain things in certain ways under the current ABC framework. So that aside, and we'll probably touch upon the ABC legal aspect later, but you know, the other component of that is that beer is 92% water, and what's more local than water? So that's kind of been our angle du jour. The beer is mainly water, not to mention that we are trying to resurrect a hop industry here in Virginia and a barley industry. I've been contacted by the Virginia Department of Agriculture about the barley futures. We grow barley in Virginia. Why couldn't we grow malted barley? So it's coming. It isn't here now. I don't think that we should hold that against me. Please don't hold it against me that we don't grow our own barley right now.
We are talking with our guest today, Hunter Smith from Afton Mountain Vineyard, Maureen Kelly, she's from the Nelson County Tourism Development, and Mark Thompson, the owner of Star Hill Brewery. We'll be taking phone calls later if you have questions or comments from these folks. We're talking about agricultural tourism or agritourism, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Maureen, so we got Hunter here from the wineries. We have Mark here from the breweries. I can't bring my kids to any of this stuff. Where's the agritourism that is for folks 21 or under 21?
That's the whole agritourism experience where, yes, as Mark noted, you could do an hour tasting at Afton Mountain Vineyard. You can do tastings at Star Hill Brewery. You can eat as a family at the breweries and other restaurants. You've got, in Nelson County, things like the petting zoo. You've got hiking, outdoor recreation, Wintergreen Resort. It is definitely a family experience. The other part of the whole Virginia experience experience has to do with drinking responsibly. We're very cognizant of with the wine tasting and, you know, and the consumption of alcoholic beverages that there are children around, and we try to do these things in a very tasteful environment, and also talking about wine tours as tourism development. Those are businesses that are growing and changing and adding to that inventory every day. The other thing that most of these businesses do are festivals. And so the festivals on site, again, have all those things that a family can enjoy.
Where did this overall concept come from? I mean, because I think for many people, again, when you think of tourism, especially in this area, there's Monticello and Ashlawn, and you come to the university, et cetera, et cetera. They're much more historical and educational. Mm-hmm. And for some people, I think what I'm hearing here is that agritourism should be, or certainly can be, educational as well. But where did the concept of agricultural tourism come from? It doesn't seem that it was first in line. Did Nelson County think of this?
Well, there are lots of real smart people in the tourism industry. We have the Virginia Department of Virginia Tourism Corporation is the state department, if you will. And specific to Nelson County, about 10 years ago, we decided as a county to look at the assets and the things that we had and trying to grow the economy. My job, Rick, is my real job is to bring in $7 million a year in revenue. And so the question was, how do you do that without building new schools, adding infrastructure, and or increasing population? And so what we set upon was that agritourism strategy. And so we've seen from 3 to 10 wineries, 3 breweries, single malt whiskey distillery. We've got a cidery coming on site. And what these have done is, for example, the cidery is now looking to source all of its apples regionally. Can't do it quite locally. Regionally works even better. Mark talked about the barley production. We're working with the Department of Agriculture on specialty grants for not just cider apples, barley, but also hops. So it's an opportunity to grow the economy from within. Most, here's another statistic for you. Most of the new business development that you see these days, 80% of it comes from existing businesses, and so you see opportunities for these farmers, for these entrepreneurs to add something else to their product line, whether it's festivals, whether it's lodging on site at a farm that they didn't do before.
But there are, you know, doing my homework on the topic today, again, agritourism, agricultural tourism with Mark Thompson, Star Hill Brewery, Hunter Smith, Afton Mountain Vineyards, and Maureen Kelly from Nelson County tourism. You know, what I find as I go through and I type in agricultural tourism is people staying at the farm. It's getting people almost as free labor to come pick the peaches. And when you think about that in a larger concept, there are places in our area that already do that, mm-hmm. although they may not be getting the same state or regional advertising that the others are. You can go to Childs and pick your own peaches. Carter Mountain has an apple set up. Polyface Farm, you can do things like that. Are these other businesses receiving the same or growing in terms of the amount of advertisement that they might be getting to show folks that there's more to it than the wineries and now the Brew Ridge Trail, which I want to get into because I find that to be fascinating?
The farms that you talked about, that you just mentioned, were all at the forefront of the agritourism wave. And what they realized early on was allowing people to actually touch that fruit, pet that animal, made the consumer feel a more part of that which was occurring on the farm. And honestly, in today's society, children don't know that things grow on trees. And so bringing people back to the farm, the whole farm-to-table movement, the whole, you know, it's not just about buying local, but, for example, Wild Wolf Brewing Company and Devil's Backbone Brewing Company, the spent grain from their process, and Mark's place as well, Star Hill, that grain leaves and is delivered to some very happy cows in our locality who consume that that product. And then, especially in the case of the restaurants, that the restaurant buys that meat back, and it is served at that restaurant. So you see that entire cycle of product moving through, and it's, I mean, if talk about green, talk about, you know, really reducing that carbon footprint, and all these things are exciting to the consumer. People are more aware of what they're putting in their bodies, where they're going. They're not going as far away for those outings, and as I said, I wish people really knew a lot more about the things that are available here in our community.
1117 on the wake-up call. Hunter Smith, Hunter from Afton Mountain Vineyard. How does Afton Mountain participate in this stay local issue? Because I think I saw this phrase or saw this word three or four times in doing my homework, Pioneer Farm Winery. What makes Afton Mountain a pioneer, and in what issue?
Well, simply put, we were one of the first, and so that's where the pioneer idea comes from. But it's also taking the concept and putting it into practice successfully. And when we, you know, when we have a 30-year-old, or at the time, you know, a 12-year-old vineyard, and you take that fruit and you turn it into wine, and you have a tasting room where people come and see it, that was a relatively new concept for Virginia when we got started. And so in order to have that success and show other people, you know, hey, this is something you can do with farmland, you know, you can put in grapes, you can make wine, people come see you and enjoy that wine on the premises and take it home and serve it at their table. That's the idea of us being a Pioneer Farm Winery. Coming along early on, you know, with the vineyard being purchased in the late 80s and then opening the tasting room in the early 90s, that was a new concept to Virginia. And, you know, competing with California and Europe for people's attention was not easy. And so to come along and do that successfully was paving the path for something that's now quite a successful industry.
I want to go back to the kids for a minute, though. We have a representative from the beer side of things. We have a representative from the wine side of things. But I would think that you have to have at least times when the kids are there. Somebody shows up with their kids, whether it's because it's the parent with the kids and they know that they need to just have a taste before they get in the car, or there's, I would think, where somebody doesn't drink wine and somebody is a designated driver, but you have kids that you need to entertain. How do you do that in terms of agricultural tourism at Afton Mountain?
For us, that's just the responsibility of the parents. Obviously, we're open to having kids. Every weekend, there's kids in there. You know, the easiest thing, in my experience, is, you know, one parent tastes while the other parents the kids, and then swap. That's what seems to be the most successful. Having just had a baby, that would be my approach. But, yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot of beautiful outdoor space. There's plenty of places to run around and hang out, obviously under supervision. You know, tasting room staff aren't babysitters, so to speak, and they are there to take care of the parents. But as long as there's someone to hang out with the kids, it's a beautiful place to be. It's a fun place to go. It's a nice way to get out of the house on the weekend. So there's definitely room for children in tasting rooms. It's just a matter of how they're handled, and I think that we've had success with that, and it's never been an issue for us.
Mark, you raised your hand. Yeah. Mark Thompson, Star Hill Brewery.
The part that I love about kids, and absolutely, we do promote safe drinking and responsible drinking, absolutely, and kids do come. It's kind of a flip side of two points of this. The flip side is when you take your kids to Disney World, you know, you got to go there and do that as a parent. So the parents occasionally get to have a little fun by going to a winery or going to a tasting room. But the thing that I really like the most, Rick, is when a kind of teenage kid who might be in middle school or high school comes in with their parents and I'm giving a tour, and all of a sudden they kind of get it. They see that fermentation is a basic biological pathway, and the way that I got into the way that I got into beer making was this fermentation issue. They see that beer making and wine making is a practiced scientific art. It is a Renaissance art, that the converting sugars into ethanol and carbon dioxide through a single celled organism, which is yeast, has been an art form that's been practiced throughout time. Their eyes light up and the kids start raising their hands and they go, ooh, I learned this in science and I learned this. And so there's a component of, yes, alcohol is, you know, in America, whatever, I won't get started on the 21, but you can't drink until 21. We all got that. But the kids come in sometimes, and they get more excited than the parents do because they're learning a life lesson about science and how cool science can be. And that's always been very entertaining for me to see how the kids light up about that.
Well, it's great to see that concept introduced as a natural, you know, normal thing rather than the way it's advertised by liquor companies and stuff like that. It makes it look like there's no such thing as alcohol other than to exist in this sort of party, you know, less than responsible atmosphere. And so for people to come to your brewery or to our winery as kids, and then, you know, even in, we have members of our wine club who had young kids when they signed up. Now they're teenagers, they're coming of drinking age, things like that. And they understand the concept of not only drinking local wine, which is great to introduce early, but also the concept of it's okay to drink wine, it's okay to drink beer. It's not our parents' or grandparents' days of, you know, until you're a grown-up, you can't even hear about beer or wine. But to see it made locally and consumed responsibly their entire lives is an awesome thing, because it means for a responsible consumer when they are drinking age, regardless of what that legal drinking age is.
11:22 on the Wake Up Call with our guests today, Maureen Kelly from Nelson County Tourism, Mark Thompson, Star Hill Brewery, Hunter Smith from Afton Mountain Vineyard, as we talk about agricultural tourism. This is the Markets of Tigra Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Partly sunny and windy today, highs in the mid-60s. Mostly cloudy tonight with a percent chance of rain, 40. In the valley, just a little less in the other areas. Lows 50 to 55. And then cloudy tomorrow with a 20% chance of showers, 50% in the valley. Highs in the mid-60s again tomorrow. Right now in the listening area, 63 in the valley, 61 in Lynchburg, 64 in Richmond, 59 in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tigra Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And today's programming is supported by Dixon Disposal as well. When Dixon picks up your trash, they sort and separate it for recycling. Dixon also offers single-stream recycling during regular pickup. You can help the planet stay green with curbside service from Dixon Disposal at your home or business. For more information, DixonDisposal.com. Call them, 434-978-2111. If you have a question or a comment for our guests today as we talk about agricultural tourism in our area, give us a call, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. And as I wag my finger at everyone for not bringing any samples, Mark from Star Hill or Hunter from Afton Mountain, and Maureen Kelly, who didn't suggest that as the director of tourism at Nelson County.
They usually come a lot more prepared.
It's usually later in the day. Too.
It's also that's right.
That's right.
I want to talk about the Brew Ridge Trail because I find that to be a fascinating, well named. First of all, I'm not sure who can claim coming up with that name, but I find it fascinating because you've got several different businesses here. The wineries can get together. It seems to me that there's a large enough market for that, and some of the ABC rules allow you to claim an even larger number of people to try and reach. But with the breweries, you have different types. Mark, I go to the Brew Ridge Trail website, and there's beautiful pictures of sitting outside at Devil's Backbone, inside at South Street, and then the other picture is your delivery doors at Star Hill. But you also have, you know, these are seem to be somewhat competitive businesses that have somewhat gotten together and managed to do this to bring people into, but you almost have to come to these businesses directly to determine whether you like their item or not. Tell me about how you got involved in the Brew Ridge Trail and why you think it is so positive that you did get involved.
Absolutely. I give Maureen, to my right here, a lot of credit. She was the one who really kind of saw this 2 plus 2 equals 5, this synergy of, and I've been a firm proponent in, as I like to call, a rising tide lifts all boats. So as we band together, as Blue Mountain and Devil's Backbone and Wild Wolf and Star Hill and South Street all band together to market our wares as a collective front, we actually are educating the consumer every single day, again, similar to what the wine guys did 10 years ago. So as we have been doing this in craft beer, it's no secret that craft beer is very successful and is taking market share from the large domestic breweries. So we do a lot more positive things together than we do independently. Maureen came up kind of with the idea. I think I want to give Jason Oliver from Devil's Backbone credit for thinking of the name Brew Ridge Trail. But it's a very simple idea that we have five breweries and you can intermingle a couple wineries out there in the western part of Albemarle County and make for a great afternoon of fun.
Do you fight anything in terms of the tourism part, because there isn't a restaurant at your place? Does South Street fight their own battle because you can't find theirs packaged and ready to go?
I think at times the egos get involved, and absolutely, and I'm sure the winemakers would have the same kind of egos. Everyone thinks their product is better than someone else's, and at times I wish and yearn for having a full-on tasting room that actually had air conditioning, that actually had some food, had some bathrooms that were clean professionally. So absolutely, if you come to Star Hill, the experience is very industrial. It's very much you're right in the thick of things, which it has its own unique set of flavors and flares that are completely different than some of the other breweries on the brewery trail. So we all kind of yearn for certain things that we don't have, but I think that's just human nature.
I will admit to those listening that my growler says Star Hill on the front of it.
$5 you, Rick.
But one of the things that I find also interesting, again, Mark Thompson from Star Hill Brewery, is, and whether this was intended or not, is the success of the Monticello Ale and somewhat bringing together the educational part with the beer. And again, Virginia and federal law says you can't be 20 and learning your education about Jefferson's recipe legally. But I find that to be so fascinating. And did that succeed on a greater level than originally thought it might?
That's a good question. So we, backing up a little background story, as we first launched the Star Hill Brew Pub in 2000, the Monticello Foundation had just finished restoring Thomas Jefferson's beer cellar. And so the knowledge of Thomas Jefferson brewing beer, and I hate to pick on the winemakers, but one of the stories I always say is that Jefferson tried to make wine and failed, but he made a lot of beer and he built a brew house and all of that. So as we approached, as they built the beer cellar, and Star Hill teamed up with the Jefferson Foundation, the Monticello Foundation, and over the course of about 8 years, we developed a lot of historical research and dug into the recipe, and Jefferson made beer on the plantation through the help of many, and he was very interested in it and wrote a lot about it, but his beer was a wheat and corn beer with no barley, and we made the recipe, and the jury's still out on how much success it is, whether it will be like a souvenir when you go to Disney World and get the Mickey Mouse ears, or whether it's going to be a souvenir, or whether it's going to be a product that's going to be a long-lasting thing for Star Hill. At this point, it really doesn't move the needle in what we do, what Star Hill does every day, but it's a great educational component of our brewery.
But my understanding was, and again, I'm misled all the time, was that the original production was, I don't know, 100 cases, and that almost immediately sold out, because my memory of my job at the time was, oh, well, we're going to sell this much to Monticello, that was part of the deal, and we'll bring you a case, because everybody around us wants a case to put on their retail shelf. And what I was told was, oh, sorry, they took it all, but we're going to brew another batch. And then I see it regularly with new bottles in the Star Hill tasting room.
So, so that was kind of part of our plan. Scarcity breeds demand. People only want what they can't have. And so the beer makers, and this is kind of like parlays into the wine thing, is that, unfortunately, beer is not like wine where you can buy a $500 bottle of champagne made in France in 1800. I wish that we could do the same. So as we rolled out the Monticello beer, we did so in a deliberate fashion that we tried to make the demand for the product always exceeding the supply, therefore creating buzz, creating value, creating a price point that was favorable to the product. So it's getting more and more, the Monticello beer is being more and more widely distributed. That was always part of our plan, is to keep it very small at first and then go out to the state of Virginia. And then next year we probably will release that product to our entire distribution footprint, which is the Mid-Atlantic seaboard.
Hunter Smith from Afton Mountain Vineyard. Does it bother you that the breweries, at least at Star Hill, are now producing some of their wine, some of their beer in 750 milliliter wine shaped bottles? Is that stealing anything from the wineries?
No, I don't think so. As
they're stealing your concept, though.
Well, it's been, if on that note, it's kind of been stolen for a while. It's been pretty common for.
Are you making wine in beer six packs?
No, although that's a good idea.
I'd like to claim for that. I talked to a California
winemaker, and they're beginning to do growlers of wine in draft.
Yeah, and they're doing kegs too.
But
you know, as artisan winemakers and fans of artisan alcoholic products, we're also familiar with beer and its origins. And you know, Belgian beer has been made with corks and cages in 750s for years. So not to take anything from Mark, but beer in 750s isn't a new concept. So no, we're cool with it.
11:32 on the Wake Up Call. Maureen Kelly, Mark Thompson, Hunter Smith, as we're talking about agricultural tourism, especially in our regional area. And let me take a moment and thank the Backyard for their support today. You can find UVA Corner's Culinary Secret at the end of Elliewood Avenue. The Backyard has a seasonal menu, daily specials, and a rotating list of beers on tap. Backyard is now open on Sundays to serve brunch and then a pub food menu until close. For more information, it's 434-202-8215, thebackyarduva.com, or on Facebook. All right, back to our guest. Again, WNRN Studio is the instant message site. If you want to send me an instant message question, 979-0919. Maureen, in terms of agricultural tourism, mixing it with the educational part, like I mentioned, with the Monticello Ale. Do school field trips or other parts of this, does Nelson County Tourism or any of the other counties sort of try and bring that together?
We certainly do. As Mark was talking about the fascination of the children and the relevance, if you will, of the science to the process, it's so important that these students understand where their food's coming from, and the whole farm-to-table movement has been taken very seriously in Nelson County. The farmers are helping the schools serve more healthy foods, whether it's meat, whether it's fruit, whether it's vegetables and things like that. But also, they understand that in a local economy, we all know one another. We all, you know, our children go to the same schools. We go to the same churches, if you will. And so you know these business people. And I think that makes a big difference in having the students understand that it is possible that to make a living, a good living, as in the agritourism arena, that we have Century Farms, multi-generational success stories that point to this. But these new businesses, whether they're the craft breweries or lodging or some of the other ancillary tourism businesses, that it is possible to make a good living in a rural environment. The rural economy is strong. We've weathered quite well during this last, whatever you want to call it, recession. We've got another two years ahead of us of hard living, but as you look to the numbers in our area, our unemployment is lower than in the Commonwealth, and overall the strength of our economy has remained stable simply because of the tourism component.
Again, you're welcome to make your comment or ask your question, 979-0919. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. I got an instant message question. It's WNRN Studio from Bread and Butter. How does this help Nelson County when the hotels are here in Albemarle?
That is correct. Nelson County does not have any chain hotels. What we have are more than 1,200 rooms in small bed and breakfast cottages and cabins and things like that. Again, what we look toward is we'd love people to spend the night, and if they spend the night in Albemarle or Charlottesville, as long as they have a two-day stay, the dollars are still rolling through the economy. There's a statistic which is very important. A dollar spent locally recycles through our community six times. A dollar that's spent in a big box or a chain often doesn't even spend the night. So to answer the question, we're glad for the overnight in Albemarle or Charlottesville, but we'd love you to come out to Nelson instead as well.
Question for everyone. Let's see, where did my question go? Maybe I'll come back to that one because I had it in my head. But Hunter, we talk about involvement in the community. There's got to be more involvement in the community than just having people come to you and sample your wine or shipping your wine out to whomever has requested it. What does Afton Mountain Vineyard do?
Yeah, absolutely. We love to be active members of the local community, as my family was born and raised here. In the Nelson County area, we have worked with the Blue Ridge Medical Center and made several donations. We had an event where our wine club members actually came and planted vines in our new block of Albarino, and when they did that, we took the proceeds of that event and donated it directly to the medical center, which goes out and takes care of members in the Nelson County community that can't necessarily afford or get to major medical facilities. We also just recently, as recently as this last week, the Nelson County food pantry, their freezer went dead, and 300 turkeys thawed out and spoiled, and we made a donation in order to help them with that problem, and also posted on our Facebook to encourage other people to do the same. And that's just indicative of the kind of things we like to do. That, you know, we know where we make our money, and that's by being local, and we like to give back. To us, it's not a PR thing; it's just a natural thing to do.
Mark, what about Star Hill?
Same resonate across the board. I mean, we live in this community. I've got two daughters, Dominique and Anna, who go to Western Albemarle and Crozet Middle School. So, you know, we are part of the fabric of, and that if we do our job well, and our mission has always been to share the gift of great beer with our community. So this has always been, and at times I get chastised, and I think Hunter would agree, that this has never been about the money. It's never been about trying to get rich quick. This has always been a passion to share the gift of great beer, and we are involved with more nonprofit people that I not that I care to know about, but we do a lot of positive things in the community. We have ties with the Music Resource Center, a lot of other nonprofits that we donate raffle prizes to, product to. So we're all about this 2+2=5 synergy thing and giving back to the local community.
I see the phone ringing now, 979-0919. We'll take that call in just a second. In fact, this is a good time to tell you it's 11:38 on the Wake Up Call with Mark Thompson, Maureen Kelly, and Hunter Smith.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
And with 19 traffic fatalities on Albemarle County roads so far this year, 2011 is the deadliest year for local drivers in recent memory. Is there a common denominator for these fatal wrecks? At least five local men have been sexually assaulted by a home intruder in the last 6 weeks, and police have few leads. But check out The Hook's holiday gift guide. 4 weeks left for the shopping season. Try and go local. And let me thank L. Oppelman's for their support today. They are Central Virginia's complete music headquarters, continuously operated since 1890. At 909 Main Street in downtown Lynchburg. L. Oppelman's music department is now featuring acoustic guitars, banjos, mandolins, and violins, as well as electric guitar packages and complete drum sets. L. Oppelman, 909 Main Street, Lynchburg, and at loppelman.com. And let me tell everybody this real quick. WNRN and Wake Up Call are looking for a second producer for the show. If you have interest in the program, you are available to work occasional Sundays, and have a basic ability with computers, we can teach you the rest. You can email me at rmoore@wnrn.org or stop by the station. All right, Mark, this question appears to be for you. Will Star Hill offer Northern Lights in 12 packs? So now here we have somebody going directly to the agricultural tourism question.
Oh, wow, this guy must be reading my mind. Just for you, and I'm not sure what the name of the caller was, but we were absolutely at Star Hill Plans for 2012, and Northern Lights is our number one selling India Pale Ale, a very nice Mark's balance favorite of malt and hops. I'll plug Star Hill Brewery here for a second. But Star Hill is going to do Northern Lights 12-pack. We will release them in April 1st as our tentative launch date.
It's also Mark's favorite beer.
Yes.
Is it Mark's favorite beer? Now, Mark, beer has sort of changed its concept. I know that things are in cans. We joked about them being a little bit in the 750 milliliter bottles, but your customers have provided the need for a change in packaging. Hunter, has how has your customer base changed, if at all?
Well, it's gotten a little bit younger, obviously above drinking age, but I think what's great is they discuss in the wine and beer community the concept of millennials, which is actually people of my generation. I'm 26. But it's younger folks. Everybody thought of boomers and people over 45 as your target wine consumers. And what's great to see, you know, whether it's young professionals or recent graduates of the university and things like that coming to see us, it's like we were discussing earlier with family and things like that, the concept of local wine and beer and the experience as something that's resonating with younger people. And that's the main thing that's changed, not only for us, but for the wine industry overall. It was, you know, perceived as stuffy and things like that, and it's become more of an everyday product as it is in Europe and should be in America. And so that's been our main change of consumer, is just younger. I mean, reaching, you know, not that the older consumers aren't there anymore, but it's just a wider base, which obviously makes us happy.
Maureen Kelly from the Nelson County Tourism. How have the businesses themselves, not specifically Star Hill or Afton Mountain Vineyards, added to some of the marketing plans, and what ideas and suggestions have the agricultural businesses brought to the table of agricultural tourism?
Every business brings a different kind of value add to the entire strategy, whether it's lodging packages so you can do an overnight, so you can spend more time to do more things, whether it's an orchard adding pick your own, whether it's so it's just adding more products to the offering.
You know, one of the things that I see the phone ringing again. Bring it on, folks. 979-0919 1-877 WNRN Rocks. And if the same person is asking about 12 packs, Mark, are there other beers coming out in 12 packs?
I'm just paying these people a lot of money to call.
Yeah, yeah. They didn't leave a name. I didn't hear a voice. It's not your daughter's, is it? Maureen, one of the things that I found, because you're representing so many different businesses of different types, of different sizes, whether they're families, whether they're community owned. I want to know how you flex. How does the agricultural tourism concept flex from large to small farms, different business types, different owner personalities, different types of visitors, whether they're families or adults, or whether the focus is on the kids?
That has everything to do with just the marketing plan that we put together every year, and so each of those strategies is vetted, and again we do all kinds of trend analysis and decide how exactly to spend the very scarce marketing dollars that we have. But all those pieces, it's like a big jigsaw puzzle. All the pieces are in the box; they just have to be put together properly. And the beauty of it is the box, the number of pieces in that box just keeps getting bigger and bigger, and so the picture becomes more and more beautiful as those pieces come together. But the Hunter was talking about those millennials. Understand that they are a relatively new target market. You know, maybe the last 5 years that we've really focused on, because as Hunter said, what we're looking to do is teach that group, who unfortunately have the highest level of debt that we've ever seen in America, but they're also the most tied to the natural resources in our community. So we think they're a target. But we also know that if we can teach them to drink responsibly, to enjoy that which we have, we will have a consumer for more than 60 years. So it's just those sorts of strategies that we're always looking at. You know, what's the next new thing? Ciders are really cool right now. But again, how do we make these businesses successful? As for working together, let's face it, what we're dealing with in the cottage industry are, as I call them, let's see, fiercely entrepreneurial spirits, codename farmers. They're all producers. They are all, again, independent, brilliant people. Bringing them together to work together takes a lot of hard work, willingness, commitment, and leadership. And I think that we've demonstrated that through the Brew Ridge Trail, the recent Nelson 151 initiatives, and some other things we've got going. You've got like interests. And as Mark said, you know, that rising tide does raise all the boats.
How do you, I want to go back to the Blue Ridge Trail, again, not to leave Hunter out, Hunter Smith, Afton Mountain Vineyard, but Mark Thompson, Star Hill Brewery, Maureen Kelly, Nelson County Tourism. How do you try and get people for that specific interest?
Marketing, but what it's we decide as a group what our target markets are, and whether that's geographic, whether that's demographics in general, psychographics. There's all kinds of horrible words that we use to label people, and to whether it's through advertising, the Top of the Hops Festival, and things like that. Whatever initiatives that we decide to do as a group, and that's the interesting part of it is those are five and counting me six very strong opinions moving that barge in one direction.
But are you advertising in magazines? Are you sending out flyers? Are you putting up tabletops on the when they go to the restaurant or the brewery? When I see the wineries mm-hmm. advertised, and Hunter, step in and tell me when I'm wrong again.
Sure.
But I see that advertised in Albemarle Magazine and sort of very upscale-ish style things, although you mentioned that the growing part were the millennials and a younger crowd than many people would stereotype. But that's where I see the ads. But I don't remember ever seeing an ad for Blue Ridge Trail in Albemarle Magazine. Where do I find that money spent to get people to come to the Blue Ridge Trail?
Well, and that's the beautiful thing, Rick, is you quite frankly at this point don't. And Maureen and I had a conversation as we walked in before the show that this Blue Ridge Trail is a very new concept. And I think for the most part, we haven't done much advertising. We're just now organizing the group as a whole. And as Maureen said, this fiercely independent, I call it herding cats. So we're trying to get, we just have five members, and we're trying to get just these five members to kind of come together collectively. But what we've done with the Blue Ridge Trail is more or less from an ethereal level, from 30,000 feet, come up with a concept, and then just more or less organically, it has grown from there. We get people from D.C. who have picked up on it, and the Washington Post has written about it. We've gotten a lot of earned media without really having tried. So it's amazing to, as Maureen and I sit down and talk about it, if we put our muscle behind it and actually did do some advertising, A, where would it be? I don't know that we know the answer to that, but how much more return for our investment would we get? Because right now it's running on its own synergy.
Rick, what we have done very successfully is what's called the public relations component of it. We host travel writers at least once a month. That is, Nelson County hosts travel writers from these major. We had Draft Magazine, the editor, some months ago, and so the interest is there. And that is how Mark didn't talk about the Growler Passport program. We do have the tabletop, Growlers. Mark could explain the Growler program better than I can, but it's really been through each brewery's own initiatives, how they chose to do it. We've also done a whole lot with social media because that we know that, again, that millennial group are just tied to those smartphones. Hunter can't stop playing with his.
That's not his phone he's playing with. Hey.
11:50 on the wake-up call. Let me take a moment and thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for their support today. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is where your happiness is their priority. At Blue Ridge, you can return gear and apparel purchases at any time for any reason. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is at Barracks Road here in Charlottesville. They have three locations in Richmond. And online for more store information, it's brms.com. And I see Drew Thompson wandering around out there. He'll be here at noon for Les Temps Purdue. Best of 80s and 90s alternative, Sinead O'Connor, XTC, and the DBs. I'm putting in that request right now. Brought to you in part by Caliente. And Mark, he takes requests all the time on Les Temps Purdue. Make sure to put yours in before you go. Here's a couple questions that we got. Again, our guest today, Maureen Kelly, Nelson County Economic Development and Tourism, Hunter Smith from Afton Mountain Vineyards, Mark Thompson from Star Hill Brewery. Let's see. We'll do this one. They both seem for Star Hill. Sorry, folks. Caller inherited a farm, interested in interested in growing barley and hops. To whom should he speak?
I'm going to let Maureen handle this one.
We're actually working with the Department of Agriculture on this specialty crop grant, so they can get in touch with me and we can start that conversation. What we're finding is that it's possible and probable to grow those crops and the crops that the distilleries and the breweries would need here in Virginia. At one time, Mark would tell you that Virginia was the center of the crop hop crop. Anyway, hop harvest. Of course, there were only, 13 colonies back then, but it's coming back.
So Virginia has a history of growing the raw materials. Obviously, when it was colonial America, there was nowhere else to turn. So we did grow our own hops for sure, and we made a lot of corn beer, which is part of the Monticello phenomenon. But we're working on barley, we're working on hops. Maureen can definitely get more information. There's a person named Stan Driver here in Albemarle County who's got a hop cooperative that he's forming in the Albemarle and Nelson County. So there's a momentum building behind the idea of growing your own hops for that question.
All right, and here's another question. Anonymous wants to drink local beer, but it's awfully expensive. Since it's locally grown, isn't there somewhere he can get it more affordably?
I think the winemaker could probably jump in on this story when I'm done. But, I mean, this is all about economies of scale. It's all about crafting a small batch product. The economies of when I go out and purchase my raw materials, whether it's barley or hops or bottles or crowns, I buy them in lots that are relatively, very, very small. Not relative, but very small. So I end up paying a lot larger price for that that volume that I buy. And beer, like everything else, and I often tell the new guys as they come in and everyone wants to open up a brewery these days, the one universal law of beer, it's a little bit different in wine, but it's still universal, is that beer is a low margin, high volume game. You've got to sell a lot of volume because the margins are just not that robust.
Yeah, and I can definitely speak to that idea. That's a question we get a lot of the time, people asking about Virginia wine and why it's so expensive, and that's exactly it, the economies of scale. You know, we run a 13-acre farm and pick the grapes ourselves and press them ourselves and turn them into wine and bottle it myself. I'm probably going to be bottling another red wine in 2 weeks, and my parents and me and my friends will be standing there bottling that wine. That kind of labor cost and things like that, they get passed on. And when you think about, some of the wines you can get in Food Line, they're getting, they're coming from California where they've got millions of dudes and millions of barrels to make this wine and stuff like that. And then you've got false discounting at Food Line and stuff like that to get it down to $9 a bottle. There's a lot that goes into it, but the reality is that it's expensive to us. And if you looked at our numbers as a winery, you would know, you would understand that it's very expensive to us. And so it's the kind of thing where you have to value that craft product, whether it's beer or wine or spirits, that you have to, you know what you're getting, which is a handmade product that's not throwing a bunch of cheap ingredients into the same place and pulling it out and selling it for cheap, but a handmade craft product.
11:54 on the Wake Up Call. This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. Mark Thompson, Maureen Kelly, Hunter Smith. I see the phone. Somebody's on the phone now, but 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN rocks. 11:54, so just a little time left with our guest today. Maureen, again, doing my homework. Three types of agricultural tourism marketing. There's the direct, the roadside stand guy. There's the education and experience where you pick your own apples. And then there's the recreation and event. How does Nelson County Tourism split their money, and in which have you found to be the greatest positive feedback?
We're not able to split our money. We have to focus on all three, which is exciting. It's the direct to consumer. What we're trying to do is whether it's through the breweries, change legislation to allow them to sell direct to consumers. The recreational component has always been our mainstay, and so unfortunately we have to do. For the budget, unfortunately, that is. We have to do all three, but what we try to do is educate our businesses that they have to do all three, and so that's the opportunity to all work together.
Mark, you mentioned this earlier. ABC laws with breweries, direct-to-consumer problem?
Yeah, so one of the challenges that we're trying to organize is the wineries have been very successful, that the breweries and wineries operate under different sets of laws, where the wineries are able to, you're able to go to a winery, and if you like a sample of their wine, you're able to buy a bottle of it to consume on the picnic table outside. You're able to buy a glass of it to consume on premises. But the breweries are not allowed to sell any of their product at all. So if you come to Star Hill Brewery, I'm allowed to give you 6 2-ounce samples for free, but I'm not allowed to sell you a flight of that same 5 beers with six beers with 2-ounce samples. So as we update some of the legislative laws from the past, Delaware, for instance, has just updated their laws that allows breweries to operate like farm wineries, where I would not have to become a full-fledged restaurant, which is what I'd have to do now. I'd have to go through the restaurant permitting process and hire a staff and serve 50 or 60% of food to alcohol. So we're trying to update some things that would then increase the amount of dollars spent on tourism, the amount of visits to breweries, and just help the industry, a fledgling industry, which is craft beer, get up and out of the off the ground.
And I think I could speak for the winemaking community that we would absolutely advocate something like that, that it's been really beneficial for us. You know, I'm a manager at the winery, but if someone sends me an email from their restaurant or store and says, hey, we want a case of your Gewurz, that's something I can do. I can say, okay, I do some paperwork on the computer. It takes me 15 minutes, and I run it to the store. So I think that'd be great.
A quick question, and then I got a caller. Mark and Maureen, local retailer would like to know where to get literature on the Growler program. Not sure who has that.
You can have them contact me. We'll set them up.
So Nelson County Economic Development and Tourism.
And then retailers can sell growlers. One of the trends you're seeing out there in the trade are restaurants that buy their own fleet of growlers and sell them to go to their consumers.
All right, and we got a caller from, is this Maureen as well?
Ooh.
Caller, are you still with me?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, quick question for our group. Fire away.
Yeah, I was wondering, I see one of the main benefits of agritourism to be preserving agricultural land. I was wondering if you've actually seen effects of that in our area.
Thanks, Maureen. I'm gonna let you go. Connor, you got your hand up over there?
Yeah, I can speak to that. I mean, the short answer is it affects all of us pretty directly. We just acquired adjacent property that's 30 acres to plant more grapes. So I think other vineyards have experienced that. So that's a short way of saying, you know, the more success we have, the more land we buy and keep farmland. Nelson County is a beautiful place to build a house. It could be, you know, eventually a beautiful place to build a Best Buy. So if we just bought 30 acres of grapes to keep it making wine, I think that's I think that answers your question.
Maureen?
We have more in Nelson County. We have more acres in production, farmland production, than we did 10 years ago. So what we're seeing is that it is not just possible, not just probable, but it is a successful enterprise, and so we are preserving the land, which was, again, the mission 10 years ago to make that happen, and we're seeing successful businesses on those South 40s.
Mark Thompson, last 30 seconds. Your comment on Maureen's?
I mean, I think just in general that what I really wanted to comment earlier is the agritourism thing. It reminds me of kind of the Occupy movement. It's like you don't quite know what it is. It's this amorphous blob, but the agri thing is encompassing the local stuff, the millennials who are sick and tired of being lied to by big companies and big corporations. So go out there, and yesterday hopefully you supported a local small business. It's all about supporting your brothers, supporting your neighbors, supporting your community, and supporting your tribe. So go out there and buy some more Star Hill beer.
And after Mountain Vineyards Wine, thanks for buying local and putting houses over.
Thanks
roofs
to
over
everybody for being here today. It's Hunter Smith, After Mountain Vineyard, Mark Thompson, Star Hill Brewery, Maureen Kelly, Nelson County Economic Development and Tourism. Thanks to all three of you.
Thank you, guys.
We'll
thanks,
have the show up on the podcast a little bit later this week. Next week, Live Arts will be here to join us about their upcoming schedule, talk about theater from a variety of aspects, from kids, African-American specific organization and group participating in Live Arts, and Live Arts general manager. Thanks so much, everybody.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@AOL.com or at wakeupcall@WNRN.org. The Wake Up Call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for The Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.